Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of Symphony Limited, hosted by SMIFS Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shraddha Kapadia from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of Symphony Limited. We have with us today the senior management team of Symphony Limited, represented by Mr. Achal Bekri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rupesh Shah, Managing Director, Corporate Affairs, Mr. Amit Kumar, Executive Director and Group CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Mishra, CEO International Business. I would now like to hand over the call to management. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Symphony's quarterly conference call. As we do each time, we'll have a short presentation followed by Q&A, and so we'll all be here for the Q&A. The presentation will be done by Rupesh Shah, the Managing Director, Corporate Affairs. Thank you very much. Rupesh Bhai, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, and welcome to Q3 conference call of Symphony Limited. So there is a customary disclaimer statement to start with. So this is about Symphony standalone performance, Symphony Limited. So for the quarter, YoY, it has been flattish. That is 182 crore of top line versus 182 crore previous year for December 2024. At EBITDA level, it is 31 crore versus 34 crore, mainly on account of elevated advertisement and sales promotion expenses of water heater. And at PAT level, it stands at 34 crore versus negative 4 crore. Just to remind you, in December 2024, we had to take the write-off of Pathway, and hence it had turned negative considering that exceptional item. In current quarter, we have recovered additional 4 crore from Pathway, leading to total recovery of 8.5 crore in current year, 9 months, vis-à-vis write-off of 50.2 crore. And for residual recovery, necessary strong legal actions are under various stages. Also, to point out, and as shared earlier, now in Symphony India, there are broadly two categories. One is household air cooler, and second is the products selling around the year and/or counter-seasonal products. So in 9 months ending on 31st December 2025, products selling around the year have contributed almost 26% of the top line. And at this point of time, that is, as on 31st December, trade inventory seems to have normalized, as it is normally supposed to be at this point of time, mainly on account of revenue contraction and lower lifting by the trade in September 2025 quarter. And board has announced third interim dividend of rupees 2 per share, amounting to about 14 crore, and total interim dividend during the year about 28 crore. So coming to standalone financials of 9 months, the top line is 566 crore versus 814 crore, gross profit margin percentage stands at 48.3%, EBITDA at about 81 crore versus 188 crore of previous year for 9 months, and at a PAT level, which is higher than EBITDA, one on account of treasury income, secondly, exceptional income after providing gratuity additional provision as per Revised Wages Act, as well as there has been profit in forex fluctuation. So all put together at PBT it is 123 crore, leading to PAT of 99 crore versus 132 crore of December 24, 9 months. So for Symphony standalone, capital employed in trailing 12 months based on monthly average stood at 49 crore, translating into ROCE, that is PBIT percentage on core capital employed, about 371%, and return on net worth percentage of 19 versus 24%, while treasury is 460 versus 488 crore after robust payout last year, and this excludes loans and investments to subsidiaries, all in all amounting to 277. So all inclusive, it is almost 800 crore, slightly less than 800 crore, including equity loans and investments to subsidiaries. Coming to consolidated financials, at console level, the top line is 233 crore versus 242 crore. Gross profit margin percentage stands at 48%, YOY down by about 2%. EBITDA, which is a business EBITDA, is 24 crore versus 35 crore, while PAT is 20 crore versus negative 10 crore due to reasons explained earlier. Coming to console financials for 9 months, the top line is about 793 crore, that is down by 27% versus 1088 for corresponding period. EBITDA stands at 76 crore, while PAT is at a console level 81 crore versus 134 crore. Capital employed on a console basis for trailing 12 months is 343 crore, that is all inclusive Symphony standalone and subsidiaries, including capital employed in climate technology, translating into ROCE percentage of 54 and return on net worth of 21%. So yesterday in the board meeting, the IB transaction has been reviewed and it has been decided to roll back the proposed IB transaction to divest the stake in IMCO Mexico and Climate Technology. So as it was updated from time to time, two investment bankers were appointed. There was a global outreach. More than 10 non-disclosure agreements were signed with some of the global consumer durable companies, some of the financial investors. However, on account of evolving geopolitical situation, as well as the reasons which we are bound as per NDA, but in nutshell, the valuation offered didn't meet with our valuation expectation as well as broader strategic consideration. And hence, it has been found appropriate to roll back, and Symphony will like to nurture the business. And the silver lining is, considering the tariff situation, there seems to be a great potential in Mexico as well as United States, and we are already witnessing decent traction. Coming to part 2 regarding this IB transaction, whatever our financial investments in various forms, whether it is in terms of equity investments, intangible assets, etc., etc., as on 31st March 26, by accounting year, as auditors will advise and guide, appropriate accounting treatment will be taken, which is quite different from whatever business transformation may happen later on, and that accounting treatment is normally done based on the past actual financial performance. So just as a guidance. Repeatedly in various forums we are being asked as to what is Symphony's market standing vis-a-vis some of the published reports. So we thought it appropriate to take you through very specifics. So at a primary level, the market size is about 5,000 crore. Market comprises of different segments or different kinds of the players, Symphony being by far the market leader. There are national players, as per published report, which many of you are aware, and as per the published report, there are 8 players having sales in excess of 100 crore, and that too, sales in excess of 100 crore is at customer level, not at a company level. In addition to that, the players whose consumer level sales is less than 100 crore, but they call themselves, or many of us understand them as national players, that is third category. Fourth is a regional players. They may have a strong presence in some states or part of the state, and then completely fragmented and unorganized market. Organized market share in terms of the value percentage is about 35%. In published report, in research reports, to which we as well as many of you have access, it accounts for only some of the segments. The segments which it doesn't account for, but that very much forms part of our sales, and that too, that part of the sales constitutes almost 40-50% of Symphony sales to dealers and distributors, and those segments are rural and semi-urban, e-commerce, quick commerce, D2C, institution sales. We are clearly excluding large space ventilated cooling from this, because that we treat it as product selling round the year or counter seasonal product. Also, to draw your attention, none of other national players at a company level, all segments put together, have turnover. The second most company's turnover is around 250 crore. And top 3-4 players put together, combined household domestic air cooler sale is less than Symphony sales. And we clearly believe that for us, this is a structure growth story for medium to long term on account of variety of reasons as known and shared from time to time. Also, happy to share with you some of the data and details as validated by external agencies. So, in terms of the Google rating and review, out of more than 34,000 rating and review, Symphony score is 4.8, by far higher than most others. In terms of the share of voice on TV, because that is authentic data, otherwise we know all put together our brand reach, far, far higher than number 2 and number 3 player. Again, everywhere we have cited the source. Even in terms of the Google search, out of millions and millions of customers who are looking for and searching air cooler, as per Google Analytics from July 24 to June 25, 2 out of 3 customers look for Symphony while looking for an air cooler. Again, on our right hand side, in terms of the market leadership, brand preference, channel partner endorsement, as well as pricing premium. Again, as per each of these reliable external source, you can see that Symphony scores far, far higher than peers. Yeah, next. Yeah, thank you. So with this, we can take question answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and 1 to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. Sir, on the premium side, 95 to 120 liter categories, I think the market, we have seen in input cost deflation as well as the market is also cluttered. Just want to understand how our competitors are doing in these segments, whether they are doing aggressive discounting to gain market share, and how is our volume growth in these segments, and are we seeing any compression in this premium in recent quarters? This is my first question, sir.
So broadly, in terms of the premiums that we are talking about, the market is going into what we call a K-shaped kind of movement, where the lower end of the segment, which is migrating particularly from metal coolers to plastic coolers, that continues to be at a lower price point. The good news there is that at least the migration from metal to plastic, and in some sense from completely unorganized to regional and some branded segment, has happened. So over time, this is a segment which at this point in time, which is not at the premium, but we expect that this will move into the premium category over time. The other end is the actual existing premium category, wherein the prices have broadly been stable. Some of the recent models that we have launched also, they are at a higher premium compared to our average portfolio, but that's something which is a small chunk of the overall portfolio that we have.
Okay, sir. And sir, like organized as well as unorganized air cooler market are growing at same rate, or is there any diversion is happening? And how is our growth is coming? It's primarily from market expansion or premiumizations or share gain from organized or unorganized players. What is the split, sir?
a bigger chunk of the growth is coming from the movement of consumers from the unorganized to the organized segment. And as I said, the entire metal cooler market is mostly unorganized. So while there is some organic growth even in the traditional plastic coolers market, a bigger chunk of growth in the market is happening from unorganized to organized movement.
Okay. My last question, what percentage of sales is coming from modern trade and e-commerce versus traditional dealers in Q3, and how our margin structures are evolving across these channels, and what investments are being made in direct-to-consumer capabilities to mitigate long-term channel dependency risk?
So, about D2 sales to answer first. It has already turned not only EBITDA but at a PAT level profitable since last year, and at EBITDA level its profit margin is in line with our GT sales. Coming to specific breakup between traditional channel versus large format stores, on account of competitive reasons we are not sharing the data. And again, coming back to D2C, the kind of investments, whatever investment was to be made, we have already routed through P&L and that has been already written off. So we believe for all such kind of initiatives, including the water heater which we have launched last year, all such kind of expenditure we prefer to route through P&L. Even though the variety of benefits may be a medium term to long term.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Kapadia from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes,
So I would just like to understand that the India growth which we have, is it majorly because of the core air coolers, counter seasonal products, channel normalization, or are we gaining market share?
In the current quarter, Shraddha, as someone who knows this sector and tracks it, the current quarter is less about the market share, more about the placement in the channel. So the October to December is where we place the products in the market, but there is no market share per se that we talk about for this quarter. Also regarding the channel and the counter seasonal products, that's something we are focusing on. And as Rupesh Bhai said, at this point in time, the overall share of that in the business is slightly upwards of a quarter of our business. It has steadily increased over the years, and that is where we are right now.
Sure, sir. And if you could give a bit of details in terms of the inventory. So we have mentioned that the channel inventory is normalized. So that would be the, if you can give more update on that.
So on that, Shraddha, basis the estimates we have of the inventories available with our partners at the distributor and dealer level, at this point in time, the inventory in the market is almost similar to what we had around the same point in time last year. Some of these lower primary sales that we did this year in the September quarter same sales as last year, net impact is at present the inventory in the market is similar to last year, and hence we are saying it's kind of normalized.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll fall back in the queue for further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Vijayaratan Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So this time you haven't mentioned, subsidiary financial in presentation. Can you give some sense how has been your performance for this quarter and how are the things looking for the next quarter? What sort of growth and margin we should expect?
Sure. No, so of course, we have the data and details, but to keep the presentation crisp, we are not sharing. But to share with you subsidiary-wise, for Climate Technology Australia, 9 months as a whole, the top line has been 128 crore versus 123 crore. At EBITDA level, it is minus 8 versus minus 14. And at a PAT level, it is minus 18 versus minus 22 crore. And in terms of the cash loss, it is negative 15 crore versus negative 25 crore in terms of the cash loss. Coming to IMCO Mexico, for 9 months it is 101 crore versus 135 crore. At EBITDA level it is 4 crore versus 17 crore. And at a PAT level is minus 1 versus 10. But at a cash profit level, it is positive 9 crore versus 12 crore. Just to remind you, after 3 bumper years in climate in IMCO Mexico, until March 24, it more than doubled its top line and almost tripled its profitability from 21 to 24. The summer of 25 was subdued and that has led to this performance. But otherwise, structurally and in terms of the overall performance, IMCO Mexico is very well poised. About GSK China, 9 months top line is 80 crore versus 75 crore. At EBITDA level, it is 8 crore versus 14 crore. And profit after tax, including exceptional gain on account of sale of IPR, it is 49 crore versus 10 crore, but we need to exclude that and hence it's almost at a PAT level about 7 crore versus 10 crore. So in nutshell, for 9 months each of the subsidiary has delivered like this. About Symphony Brazil in totality, not being material, not sharing, of course we do have the details and data.
Understood. Got it. Just a sense, you know, we have just taken a decision to set it off, now we are rolling it back. So, what sort of valuation gap was there? Because earlier called you were very, you know, sort of positive, this might happen by this year and possibly early next year. And we had a strong interest, as you highlighted, from, you know, more than 10 parties. So why was the valuation so pulled apart? And nothing so much has changed geopolitical, you know, we take a decision, we want to roll it back. Can you give some more colors on it? What was the thought process?
Sure. So as we conveyed, there was strong interest by several multinational consumer durable companies from Europe, from China, from North America, apart from also financial investors as well as PE investors. However, when it came to the valuation, vis-a-vis our expectation as well as the way in which we wanted to treat it strategically in terms of further sourcing of product by us for those markets
from us,
we didn't find it favorable. About gap of the valuation, you will appreciate that with each of the prospective buyer, we have entered into NDA. So, legally, we can't disclose, as we have also announced on the stock exchange as well as in our earning presentation, as to precisely what kind of the valuation was offered or what was the gap. But we believe that this is the highest to mention that there was a gap, and obviously gap was not insignificant. Had it been insignificant, we would have gone ahead. Having said that, the silver line is, considering this evolving geopolitical situation, now in Mexico, despite they have imposed tariff of 50%, as far as air cooler is concerned, there is no tariff. And even between Mexico and United States, as far as air cooler is concerned, there is no tariff. And there seems to be a very strong traction, especially from both the markets. And considering our position as well as our presence in multiple geographies, this may work beneficial if we treat it as a silver line.
And the US company, as you will know, is a subsidiary of the Australian company. So the prospects that we see in the US company are bound to benefit the holding company, which is the Australian company as well.
Understood. Got it. That is helpful. And when should we expect this Climate Australia to hit the profitability class? Should we expect it should be back to profitability on PAT as well as cash level from next year onwards?
Well, we are working towards that. But can't really, sort of confirm anything yet. Time will tell.
Understood. But will it be a fair assumption? At least things will be on improving path from here onwards?
You could say that.
Got it. One last question from my side. How has been the non-core category growth this quarter and how much it was as a percentage of mix?
So, as it was shared earlier in the presentation, in Symphony India, it contributes more than 25% in last 9 months and it is growing steadily, which comprises of large space ventilated air cooling, water heaters, tabletop and kitchen cooling appliances, and exports from India. So they are not dependent upon Indian weather or Indian summer. And if we consider at a console level, then at a console level, it is like 50-50%. Because overseas subsidiaries, in a way, air cooler and other product sale is counter-seasonal or coming from other geographies. Of course, from subsidiaries as a whole, still they are not contributing big chunk to profitability. However, we have to bear in mind, IMCO Mexico and GSK China have not only turned around, but they have contributed significantly.
What was your growth non-core for this quarter and as a 9 month as a whole?
I think it's more meaningful to share for 9 months rather than quarter to quarter due to variety of reasons. So we don't really do the business or plan or strategize quarter to quarter, even though we do have a budget. But on 9 months YOY, the pie has grown and it is continuously growing.
Possible to give a number for 9 months and 3 months both, because at least we can get some sense how the cooler is doing.
Yeah, right now we don't have readily available, but one-to-one separately it will be given. By the way, until September quarter, we have given the figures and data.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That's it. Helpful.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Hi, morning, Aditya.
The first one is on the difference between standalone and consolidated revenues. If you just consider continuing operations, the revenues in the consolidated entity are slightly lower than standalone. So is it a case that we had sold certain units to, let's say, IMCO or Climate Tech, which have remained unsold? How should we kind of think about it? And what proportion of our standalone revenues would be sales to group companies at this stage?
Yeah, Aditya, it is mainly the decrease in the consolidated turnover in continuing businesses, mainly due to the stock. So whatever we have sold to the subsidiaries and these are lying at stock at subsidiary level, it has been removed from the consolidated turnover as per the accounting standards to show the continuing business. So it automatically goes to the discontinuing operation. So we should look at the continue plus discontinue put together for this purpose.
Sure. Understood, sir. And is it possible to kind of give an indication of what proportion of our revenues would be sales to group companies at the standalone level, both for third quarter as well as 9 months?
So for the quarter, it is around 20 crore.
So you can, yeah, 20 crore out of that 182 is to export to subsidiaries.
But keep in mind, Mr. Bhatia, respective company records the turnover, but when it is a console turnover as reported, inter-company sales or exports get completely knock off. So there is no way double counting or duplication, if at all there is any question about it. And hence, console is a net-net sales.
Sure, sure. Absolutely, sir. And so my second question is, if you could give us some indication on how the water heater business is faring, which all states are we currently present in, how large the business could have become, and how, what are your plans regarding the product category from a 2-3 year perspective? Thank you.
So, Aditya, as you know, water heaters is a fairly mature category. We have introduced a product range which is pretty innovative in its offering. So we have gone into the market with a phase plan. Last year we had introduced the product in the Karnataka, AP and Telangana market. This year we have expanded this portfolio to select markets in the north, overall covering about 8 states at this point in time. Last year we had launched it into organized retail, and this year we have expanded this into the general trade also in the markets that we mentioned. In addition, we are selling on our D2C and e-com channels. So over the next 2 years, I expect that we would roll this out in more markets and stabilize the business from where we are to a higher trajectory.
Perfect, sir. That's helpful. If you could just give some indication on how large you see the business becoming, in case you can share that, that would be helpful.
There are targets and aspirations set, Aditya, but just allow us to perform, and then maybe once our numbers reach a meaningful scale, we'll definitely talk about it.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Gokul Gandhi from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for giving me an opportunity. Sir, I just had two questions, mainly revolving around our market share. Firstly, you said that the 5,000 crore market size and we are somewhere around 35% within the organized. So if you can just help me bridge the understanding gap, you know, we are at roughly 1,200 crores on our top line. So if you can just help me understand the market share, that's my first question. And secondly, on a medium term basis, we want to understand, you know, how has the market share fared for us as a company. Yeah, that's the two question I have.
You have the numbers.
Okay.
Okay.
So Harsh, first a small correction here. The 35% we talked about is actually the share of organized business in the total addressable market. If you recall, about 10 minutes back, we were talking about a significant metal cooler market and unorganized market. So 35% is the share of organized business into the overall air coolers market. And within that organized business, as Rupesh Bhai highlighted, we are the market leaders with a significant market share. The total numbers are more than the top next five players combined. So that's where we stand in terms of the market share.
Okay. Understood.
Sir, any further questions?
I just had the second question as to how has our market share fared in medium term. That was my second question. Has it deteriorated or improved any further from here?
So has seen broadly, let's say over the last, if I look at last 3 or 4 years, within a percent or two kind of band, it has been fairly stable, I would say. if I look at, well, let's say even FY22, FY23 versus this year, the deltas on either side are barely about 1.5% against the median that we have been trending on.
Understood. So we're saying that even for say 9 months, if I just have to consider, the main major weakness would be on account of the weaker summers and not us losing market share.
Absolutely, yes. That's something that is true for us, and a lot of products and categories and companies in the cooling product segment.
Understood. That's all from mine. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thanks, Ash.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions at this time. The next question is from the line of Aditya from UK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking the giving me the opportunity for asking the questions. Am I audible?
You are.
Yes.
So were the higher advertising and promotion spends in Q3 is a one-off expense, and should we expect this higher level to continue going forward?
So as explained and shared earlier, we have entered into water heater category just in 24. And obviously, being a new product category, the advertisement and sales promotion expenses are far, far higher vis-a-vis normal advertisement and sales promotion on established category. In fact, more than 90% of the advertisement and sales promotion expenses of 11 crore incurred during December 25 quarter pertains to water heater in addition to whatever we spent earlier. And you will appreciate that in our kind of the product category, it is a necessary expenditure, even though the benefits accrue in the medium to long term, and we have to route through P&L.
Okay. So just some clarity on the market share thing. The mandatory BSI norms have helped the company to gain the market share from unorganized players. How big is the opportunity?
No, certainly such BSI norms are beneficial to organized sector, and as it always happens in any industry, market leader gains the most because it really differentiates the product, and child versus man are really being differentiated, which was just narrative. Now actually it will be known and felt and seen.
But so because of some strict norms, some supply bottlenecks also have been created in other sectors. So how is this spanning in this sector?
No, that's why our product and category focus plays a role. So whenever there are situations like this, we are well prepared and we have tackled it, and we are not going to face any issue in that respect. And if you remember, even in June 24 quarter, which was a bumper summer, most of the players faced massive logistic and supply issue. But in a very short time, we could more than double in just 60 days our production as well as supply. So that's where that agility, market leadership and insight really work.
So is there any additional market share we expect to capture going forward because of this?
Our focus is top line and bottom line growth at a robust rate rather than market share.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the email.
As long as we can increase the TT of the profit, some additional market share or some less market share, we are not really bothered.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Shraddha Kapadia for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Hello. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you very much, Achal sir, Nupesh ji, Amit ji, and Rajesh sir, for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Any closing comments from your side, sir?
No, thank you, everybody. Shraddha, thanks to you and thanks to all the participants for sparing your valuable time. That too on a working day during market hours from 11 to 12 a.m. We really appreciate your inputs and looking forward to see you in next conference call or maybe in person.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Smith's Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.